All right. Well, guys, thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to share a little time in the Word this morning. If you want to gather around, anybody that cares to listen, we'll get started, and then we'll let you get on the truck after that, okay? Let me just say a quick word of prayer before we start this morning, okay? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that you've given us just to come together. We thank you for this time now where we open your Word, and we pray that, Father, it's not just words that speak to us today, but, Father, words that you'll plant deep within inside of our heart that later on this week, next week, in the days ahead, months, years ahead, Father, it would even be something you continue to speak in our life. Father, just take this time, use it, bless it. Father, for those that are in this circle that know you, I praise God for that. Father, you look at them as sons and daughters. Father, for those that do not know you, I pray that today would be that day that they would just come face to face with you and understand about your grace and your mercy. We love you. We thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, this morning I'm going to continue on with our parables. If you'll remember just a last couple of stories that we've had, there's been some times where Jesus has been invited to a banquet. He's sitting at this banquet. He takes the opportunity. Jesse talked about this, to take the least seat at the table. He tells people about that. In fact, while he's reclining at this dinner, somebody asked him, says, well, isn't it great to eat bread in the kingdom of God? I talked about that last week. And he talks about in all of these things and about going out and inviting the least of these, going out and inviting the ones that are lost, the ones that are crippled, the ones that are sick, the ones that are poor, all of those things that we all admitted last week, that's us, right? The Gentiles, those that weren't first invited to the party, but because of the grace and mercy, we find out this news of Jesus. And so right after this and all of these things, it continues on, and he says this. After all of this, it says that there were great crowds, okay? So Jesus is at this banquet. He's telling these things that really, honestly, are a little different from what people are saying in this kind of time, right? People would think about if they're going to host a banquet to invite the most popular or the religious or all this, and Jesus says, no, go out into the highways and hedges. Invite everybody that you can find. And here's the reason he said that is because everybody's invited, right? Everybody's got an invitation. There are seats at the table still. And we even said that last week here, like in an earthly place like this. I'll tell you that some more. Just continue to invite, continue to bring people. There's always room at the table. And so when all this was happening, there were great crowds that accompanied him. Okay? So great people just pulling in. There's these massive amounts of people that are pulling in and hearing about this great teacher, this one who's teaching necessarily in a different way than what they've heard. And they're kind of pulling in close, wanting to listen and hear what this Jesus has to say. And here's what he says. It says, now a great crowd accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, listen to this. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, his wife and his children, and his brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I want to tell you, that's kind of a weird saying, really, when you think about it, that Jesus, someone that really instituted a family, God, the creator of family, and he would come and he would teach a saying of saying, like, if you don't hate your mother and father, even your wife, your husband, your sister, your brother, even your children, and even your own life, you can't be my disciple. I want to tell you, just as with Jesus, some things aren't always at face value. He's teaching in parables. He's teaching in a way of trying to let those who were ready understand and those that weren't to leave and ponder and question and ask, what was this man talking about? They can understand at a later time when they were ready. But what he's saying here is this simple thing of, like, there is no relationship in this world that is more important than the relationship to Jesus. What he's saying, mother, father, husband, wife, all of them great relationships, all of them instituted by God, brothers and sisters that we are here gathered together, but none are more important than your relationship to Jesus. I will tell you this, listen to me this morning. If there is one of those relationships that are causing you to be further away from Jesus, then something needs to happen. I'm not telling you to get out of that relationship. I'm telling you there needs to be some evaluation. Amen. There needs to be some talk. Because Jesus is the number one relationship. And he says that. He says that even if he doesn't hate his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now that was just a moment really when Jesus talks to the crowd that day that they had to just be floored. It had to be a moment where they just sat back and said, man, Jesus has done told me that I got to love him more than anything. But Jesus even goes on further as he says this statement about, yes, even more than your own life. Listen, everyone here loves themselves. Now, you may not love yourself enough. You may be at a place where you don't understand the grace and mercy and understand that you were created in God's image, that you are a masterpiece, but you still love yourself because you take care of yourself. You try to live and to continue on and all these things. We love ourselves, but he says, even if you don't love me more than you love yourself, something's out of whack. But he continues on in even a crazier statement. In fact, here's what he says after that. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, I want to tell you, today that kind of gets lost in translation. I got a tattoo of a cross on my arm. Some of you are wearing a cross on your neck. Some of you may have a t-shirt that has a cross on it or have a picture somewhere that's a cross. But in these days, I want you to know that when Jesus said to this crowd, if you don't bear your own cross, these people immediately snapped and turned attention and said, hold up. A cross is an instrument of death. A cross is a place where people go to die. In fact, it's a humiliating death. It's one of the most humiliating kind put out there for everybody to see. And Jesus, you're telling me if I don't bear my own cross, I can't be your disciple. And Jesus says, yeah, you heard me right. That's what I said, the cross. In other words, Jesus is saying this, man, to come to me, it will cost you something. Guys, you've heard me say this. I'm not one of these health and wealth guys that's going to tell you, give your life to Jesus and everything will be okay. I've told you time after time. In fact, in this life, if you give your life to Jesus, it may cost you more than it would if you live this life without Him. But I promise you, in the end, it outweighs itself. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what He's saying here. It's going to cost to follow me. Right? This isn't just a deal that you come and get your fire insurance. This isn't just a deal that you come to me and you get a free ticket to heaven. That's not what following Jesus is about. Following Jesus will cost you something. He'll call you and He'll lead you to places and He'll ask you to do things you're uncomfortable with doing. He will call you to do things. And He's saying here that even relationships you have on this earth, mother, father, husband, wife, all of these things, brother, sister, friend, even your own self. And in fact, Jesus said, if you're not willing to die to yourself, you can't be my disciple. Now, here's what I don't want to paint. I don't want to paint a picture this morning of perfection because you can't be perfect. I can't be perfect. That's what Jesus was for. Jesus came to live a perfect life you and I could not live. Amen? Amen. He came to live that life so that when we are covered in His blood and God looks at us, He looks at us as perfection because we're covered in the blood of His Son. That's the perfection that God looks for. But Jesus is saying here to follow me, it's going to cost you something. It says, for which of you desiring a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Picture that, a building project. You're going to sit down and you're going to count the cost. It says, otherwise, when he's laid the foundation and he's not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. He says, or what king goes out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet with who comes against him with 20,000? Saying, if you're going to war, you're going to sit down, you're going to what? Count the costs. He says, if not, while the other is a great way off, he sends delegation and asks for terms of peace. He says, so therefore, if any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. He's saying everything. It's not just a deal that you come to Jesus in this little moment of just, man, I just want to go to heaven. That's not biblical. He's saying, you got to come down and lay down your life. I want to tell you, he laid down his for you. He laid it down for me. And I've said this, that it may cost you more in this life, but I feel led to read this morning. I just want to take you to a place in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to tell you that even if it costs you something in this life, if there's never been anything I've told you that you've listened to or any kind of way that you want to tune me out, please just try to hear the Holy Spirit this morning and not my words, but I just want to tell you with the authority of Scripture, this is truth this morning. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, what you're doing, what you have done, or what you will do, this is gospel truth this morning. Listen to me. It says, so that we do not lose heart through our outer self is wasting away. Anybody feel like your outer self is wasting away? Man, times are tough, right? I had a fight with a pallet this week, and the pallet won. My leg's all gimped up this week. I'm feeling old this week. My outer self is wasting away. That's what Scripture says. But our inner self is being renewed day by day. There's something alive in here. There's something that's going to see His face one day. I'm going to stand before Him whole and complete. He continues on. He says, for this light and momentary affliction. That's what I want to tell you this morning. That if it is costing you something right now to follow Jesus, it's a light and momentary affliction. He continues on. He says, it is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. This light and momentary affliction, what Paul is saying in this, is saying that there is about to be a weight that is put on you when you see Him face to face that is going to weigh on you, this glory that's actually going to bring you to this place of just weighing on you. And he said that you can't compare. There's nothing here in this life that will ever compare to that. And so if you're going through a tough time now through following Christ, if it's something that's just bringing you to this place of feeling like, man, just nothing's going right, I want you to know it is temporary. It is momentary, as Scripture says. And there is a weight coming, a glory that is coming. Country and I was talking last week, a grandmother that's already there, right? This glory of being able to see friends and family that have already gone ahead. That's going to be part of that weight of glory, amen, that is on us, that we get to see those that we've lost, right? I pray that you're ready for that, man. I pray that you understand that grace of Jesus this morning. It says, beyond all comparison, nothing we can compare it to. It says, as we look not to things that are seen, all these temporary things are seen. He said, but we look to those that are unseen, those that wait ahead. For those things that are seen are transient. In other words, those things that we can see, taste, feel, and touch right now are temporary. But here's what he says. But the things that are unseen, those weight of glory, it's eternal. It's going to last forever, man. I want you to just do something with me this morning. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. In the busyness of life and just trying to survive day to day and all the stuff that we got to do, I want you just to think about this for 1 second. There's something we've taught week after week after week here lately, and I believe it to be 100% gospel truth this morning. You, my friend, my brother or sister, are made as a masterpiece in the image of Almighty God. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you will do, you are a masterpiece in His image. And all He wants you to understand today is that you have the ability to be called son and daughter of the King of all kings. That's made through Jesus. Nothing I can do for you, nothing you can do for yourself. It's simply coming to a place and saying, I understand that Jesus lived that perfect life for me. He died in my place so that when I stand before Him, I don't stand before Him as Keith, or fill in your name, we stand before Him. He looks at us and says, my son, my daughter. That's good stuff to know this morning. If you don't know that today, if you don't understand that concept, please talk to me. Talk to somebody before you leave. Let's get it straight today. And when you leave this place, you know, man, God looks at you as a son or daughter. That's the way He desires to look at us all. Some of you already knows that. I'm going to ask that you live in that this week. Embrace that and understand that you are a son and daughter of the King. Amen. I just want to pray God's blessing over you this week. Father God, we thank You for this time that You've given us. We pray that all these things today, Father, that we have counted the cost, that we have come to a place and understand that it's not just a temporary laying down our life. It's a lifestyle that we lay down. And Father, it doesn't mean that we'll be perfect. We will mess up. I will mess up today. I know I will. I know me. But I know at the end of the day that You're going to look at me as son, Father, that You're pleased, that You're happy with who I am, that I'm a masterpiece in Your image. Even when I don't feel like it, even when people put labels on me, even when I put labels on myself or listen to the enemy, Father, You say I'm a masterpiece and a son of the King of all kings. That's a glorious truth this morning. We thank You for it. I pray that each and every person in the sound of my voice this morning, Father, that truth just soaks in this morning. They understand, one, the cost to follow You, but two, the idea that even at that cost, even if it costs us everything we have in this life, it's momentary. But Father, the weight of the eternal glory that's waiting for us is beyond compare, Your Scripture says. We thank You for that truth this morning. So whatever suffering may come, may we remember, man, this is just temporary. Father, bless these people. Keep them. Watch over them. I love them. I thank You for them and pray, God, that each and every person here understands today that they are a son, a daughter of You, if they know You. If not, man, what a wonderful day to meet You face to face. We love You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you very much. I want you to